Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Chatty Kathy. This is Kathy Prohoroff and I thank you for joining me today in this episode. Today we're going to talk about what we've typically done when it comes to weight gain, feeling out of control, feeling like we need to get back on track, getting remotivated, setting up new goals, and all that jazz. And I just wanted to say that in the past few weeks, there's been a lot of ups and downs in my life. And I have to say that I'm very grateful that I've built up habits that I can come back to as my normals. We lost my father this past week, and there was a few weeks that he was very, very sick. And so needless to say, we were busier and stressed and emotional and everything that comes with that, but also very grateful for what he taught me in terms of strength and always just pushing to get to that next level and never allowing quitting to be an option. And I really value that, and I'm going to continue to take that lesson with me and use it to help impact others as well. So why I wanted to share this is truly because it has been a really crazy last year, number one. And I have to say that for my results throughout quarantine in 2020, I pretty much stuck to my plan. I already was training at home, was already working at home due to our Superstar Elite program. So that was an easy transition, and I'm thankful about that. So I know for a lot of you that have had transitions, you know, being quarantined at home or having to work from at home or school your children at home or whatever it is that you've had to shift. I know that that is a change that creates more struggle because it's not your normal. So hopefully things are adjusting here and there for you if that was the case. But for me, the change happened at the end of the year because, of course, I had a lot of things going on. Well, our daughter got married at the end of the year. So we had, the event planning and everything that went into that, all awesome stuff. And then, of course, like I just mentioned, then we had the sad loss of my father and the sickness that went around that. So needless to say, I was out of my normal, totally out of my normal. And the funny thing was, is that I got to that point again. So I'm just going to be real and honest with you. This is really why I came up with today's topic, that I started to feel clothes getting a little tighter, a little snug. Now, I have to just start by saying it's not what I used to go. Like, I know my normal now, and I know that this is me hitting the wall of, uh-oh, Kathy, pay attention, knock, knock, wake up. Not that I'm anything outside of anybody would see or notice at all, but I notice and I feel it. And it's that little wake-up call that I now feel that I don't have to get on the scale to know that. I just know it because of how I feel. And I did jump on the scale and I was like, okay, we're up a little bit. So let's just get ourselves back down. And so I want you to get to that point too, of not having to freak out or put on an immense amount of weight before you actually pay attention, because it feels so hard to get on track. Like, how do you get back on track without it feeling like it's just an overhaul of your life? You know what I mean? I understand that diets, they work in the short term, and I've done them all as well. And throughout the years, I've tried so many of them up and down, you know, over and over again, thinking that, well, this program will be better because of these rules, and this program will be better because of these workouts or whatever it was, whatever I can restrict myself and overwork myself. I definitely lost weight, a lot of weight over the years, but it wasn't sustainable because I started to feel that losing the weight in that way was miserable. It actually felt very deprivational. I felt unhappy. I was exhausted. I was hungry. I was miserable. And nobody wants to live in that state long term. We will not stay in that state, which is why the diets don't work long term. Nobody in their right mind is going to stay in that because it feels wrong. And our mind's going to keep telling us, this is not right. This is not right. This is not right. Eat that cake, eat those chips, eat that fast food, eat whatever. And then some, until all of a sudden we find ourselves, you know, holding on to more weight than we had started with them in the beginning. So today's message is, the building blocks of, again, how I reset myself. And I'm at that point right now. Okay, we're back on, we're resetting. And I feel good about it. I don't feel like, oh my gosh, I have to be motivated. I have to go to the store and I have to change everything that I'm eating, because I don't. I just go back to my normal. It's easy. It's like I woke up, got my normal stuff in, and it's actually, it feels good. That's the thing. It feels good. It's like, have you ever been out of town? Like you looked forward to a trip or doing something different in your schedule. I'm going to use going out of town as an example. And you take this trip and you tour whatever country or state or city, whatever it is, and you have this wonderful time and you're gone for, maybe a couple weeks. And when you get back, you can't wait to get back. Like, there's a difference. If you go out of town for a weekend, you're like, I don't really want to come back yet. I'm not ready. But when you go and you really get your enjoyment out of that trip and you get everything out of it, you can't wait to get back. Because why? Because you want to get back to your normal. It doesn't feel normal. It was fun. It was enjoyable. But you just know, well, this is not where I usually hang out in my life. And I'm actually looking forward to going home, having the comforts of home again, having the home-cooked meals again, having my schedule, my routines again. That is what I'm talking about. When you have that normal inside of your eating and your fitness planning and the way you think, then life comes back to that every time. When you feel the balance going off, it's like you think of a scale, not a scale that you stand on, but like those scales that are balanced, one side and the other, the weighted scales. And one side starts to, drag down and the other pulls up too much, and you got to reset the balance, put more of the weight on that other side to kind of reset it so they're more in line with each other. That's what I'm talking about, is your body and your life doesn't feel like it's in balance. And that honestly is the only way that we're going to have the long-lasting changes in any area of our world. We have to feel like it's our normal, and we don't have to sit there and reinvent the wheel every single time. And we shouldn't feel miserable. We should not hate the process. There's times, of course, you don't feel like getting up to work out. Whoop-de-doo, right? I do that all the time. There's days I'm like, yes, I'm going to crush this workout. And there's some days I'm like, oh, are you serious? I really have to do this. But I know that if I don't, I'm going to feel worse after because I didn't. So it's a normal balance. It's just rebalancing. So if you find yourself either now or in the future or in the past, and you know that this is something that you have struggled with, I'm just going to give you some steps so you can stop the yo-yo dieting. Because let's just face it, they don't work. If they worked, we'd all have perfect bodies, be at our perfect weight, and we'd never have a problem again. It's not just like we get to that weight and it's like, lock it in. I'm going to stay here. Life changes. We go through ups and downs, right? Like I says, we're going to have times in our life that we go up a little bit more, but having that threshold of, uh-oh, this is getting uncomfortable. And this is what I'm talking about. That's kind of what I felt to this week. I was like, oh, all right, Kathy, it's getting a little bit to that point where you got to pay attention again. Pull back a little bit, figure out where you got to reset and get back to your normal. And the reason we're up and down all the time is because we get used to this all or nothing, And then why do we fall off track? If we start a diet that feels miserable, cuts back all the fun foods, we're never supposed to eat another chocolate chip cookie again, and that's our favorite treat. And so we're supposed to eat all this chicken breast and all the green veggies. After a while, that gets old and boring. And if you're bored, guess what? Your body's going to get bored, your mind's going to get bored, and you're going to fall off. So it's not realistic. Those deprivational plans are written as, a perfect plan, but yet we're humans. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. We can try. We could try to get a little bit better every time and learn and get better and better, but we're never going to be perfect. So if it's not realistic, then why even do that? Why even put yourself through a system that's not realistic for the long run? Now, if you have to go on a program because your doctor's putting you on something for a specific short-term reason, great. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that intention to like lose it all and get back on track and doing this in a way that is not long-term. It's not fun. I mean, don't you want to live your life fun, like having more fun versus feeling deprived and miserable and grouchy and everybody else not wanting to be around you?
Well, I knew that that was what I needed to be, because every time I went on a new diet, I know that everybody stayed away from me because I wasn't a fun person. I was miserable. And if I felt miserable, then everybody around me would get a part of that energy, and then they would start to feel a little bit of that misery too. So the first thing I want you to get clear on is that education is key. Knowing why that you've struggled before. The plans that are, you know, out there and everywhere, the diet programs, they're not sustainable, they're not fun, they're not realistic. And so knowing that is the first step. It's just understanding it is not your fault. You didn't screw up. You didn't fail. They failed you. And they're written that way because that's just, it's a temporary fix, right? So understand, one, what food does for you. What is food for you? I used to think it was just this negative thing. And I thought the less I could eat, the better. So in my head, I mean, just how ridiculous I know this sounds now, but in my head back when I was going through all my diets in misery, I thought this made sense. If I can eat less food, I'm going to be more successful. So in my head, food was the enemy. And isn't that a sad thing that diets do make food the enemy? It's like, how little can I eat and get away with? And that is far from the truth. I mean, so far from the truth. Food is our energy level. It's our source. Without it, we die. We need food. So what is it that we're being taught and being led to believe that we can eat nothing and still sustain normal energy levels and a normal life? No, that's going to be your obsession, because you can't live without food. Your body is going to continue to pull you towards it, because your body and your mind is meant to keep you alive. Like, its whole function right now is keep you alive. That's pretty cool, right? So why would we try to reverse that by not eating and giving it nutrition? It's because we've been taught that. Again, not our fault, but understanding that food is not an evil gremlin that's trying to come in and take over your body and make you miserable and put on all the pounds. No, it's there to help you live. But the diet industry and all the marketing of all these fast foods and these processed foods have come in and made us believe that we're the problem. And hey, if you could just have a little bit of this, you know, you'll be fine. So understanding that food is your fuel, it's your energy, and why it's important. Because listen, when I started getting serious and started to understand, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of feeling deprived, sabotaged, afraid of food, you know, hating myself and my body. I thought there's got to be another way. And so I decided to just dive into knowledge. The more I can understand what my body needed, how to give it what it needs so it didn't keep trying to pull me off track, then I was able to succeed. So knowledge is power. And knowledge allows you to make better choices and decisions, because now you know that it's actually helping you. It's not hurting you. It's helping you. And all those diet programs, just because they're out there doesn't mean they're true. Doesn't even mean that they make sense. They're not healthy, right? So when you do something that you dislike and you just push through, you know, like a diet program or something, you know, and so many people complain about burpees, and I find this amusing. If you don't like to do burpees, then don't do burpees. Do something that works your body. You know, there's a lot of different types of exercise. Walking is a great, easy one. Whatever it is, you could get activity in without doing burpees. So it's just hilarious how people associate, not hilarious, it's just the truth. We associate, you know, something negative with being good for us because that's what we've been taught. So understanding to reverse that, that is BS. Everything you've learned that doesn't help you is BS. So knowledge is power, so you can make those decisions so that you can go through something that you actually like. Because when you dislike something and you push through, you learn nothing. You learn that you're the problem, which is a lie, number one. But it comes down to building new habits. What are your habits right now? Are your habits to make excuses? Are your habits to start a program and go at it 110% only to fail? Excuse me, only to pull back and start to fail over and over again until you quit and then restart when you feel like crap again or you put on all the weight and more. And if that's your habit, it's just a habit. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. It means change the system. You wrote the system, you input the system into your brain and your subconscious and your life, and now you're running this program like a computer running a program over and over and over again. But if it's not working, then why do you continue it? So understanding that it just comes down to building new habits. not doing what didn't work before. Okay. It's about the balance. And in my opinion, you need people that work along with you. Now, the reason I created the Superstar Elite community was because, you know, I find so much power in working together with other people that are like-minded. There's something about to be said about that. And the reason I decided to bring this in, instead of just doing one-on-one training or even coaching one-on-one, I find that there is obviously that everybody's needs the personalized attention, but we do need that accountability and that tribe feeling, you know, like we're all in this together. And I learned that from Weight Watchers way back when, because I was a Weight Watchers member. I became a lifetime member. I actually became a leader. So I understand the basics. And I looked at because I did not, after a while, I found that their point system was very flawed. It didn't teach you about food. It didn't teach you about nutrition. It just taught you that you can count some points and lose some weight. So it was really just another diet. Again, you can eat Twinkies and lose weight as long as you're not eating too much. So what does that tell you about weight loss? It's not health that you're after when you're on those programs. So with that, though, I understood that the power, because again, as a leader at Weight Watchers, I understood that the power behind their success was the accountability and the support, coming together, talking about a topic every single week and going over celebrations with, you know, the members that had lost, the members that were learning, the members that were continuing to come. And all of that creates this feeling of being a part of something bigger than just, you know, a quick fix. So I realized that the community is really important. So if you don't now have a community, why? You need a community. You need a tribe who is on the same page as you. Because listen, there is food everywhere. You can't get away from food and you can't live without food. Food is not the enemy. And we have diets everywhere. The diets are like the enemy. They're like out there trying to get your attention. They're like, hey, pick me. I'm going to tell you to eat no carbs. Hey, pick me. I'm going to tell you to eat keto style. Hey, pick me. This is your new plan. And this is how you're going to lose weight. But what about when you struggle? What about the areas that maybe you don't know? Maybe you're following a diet plan and you're like, I don't know, should I be choosing this over this? Why should I be choosing this? Why am I hungry? Should I increase a little? Should I go down? Should I add more exercise? What should I do? Well, having a community and having a coaching system, it gives you that that help, right? It gives you somebody to, like, you know, you raise your hand and you're like, I have a question. Can somebody help me with this question? And I know within our program, that is such a valuable asset. You know, the women will post in our app. We have an app and also a group on Facebook. And we also have in our app, we have a little community page where everybody can post their questions and their celebrations. And you see when people have accomplished certain things. And it's kind of an exciting little place outside of Facebook. But obviously, it's a very powerful area because we can then ask questions. And I have women going, okay, what do I do about this? Okay, I can't do this today. What do I do instead? Okay, running out of ideas on what to eat. What are you guys doing? Or I need support. Where's everybody at? Or I did this today. Look at me, you know, like a celebration. So all of that, it's like I get to come somewhere to people that understand, because chances are people in your day-to-day life don't understand your struggles. They don't understand what you're going through. They don't understand, you know, when you've walked for, you know, the second week consecutively and you're proud of yourself. They'll be like, oh, good for you. I can walk all the time, but, you know, what's your problem? But we get it. Like, a group that gets you is going to get it, and they're going to celebrate it. And that, what a high, right? And that, to me, is more powerful than any motivation that we can hope for, because motivation is fleeting. It comes and goes. Yet most people wait for it. They act like this is their secret, you know, secret source to getting their results met. And motivation comes and goes. So don't count on that to keep you in the game. So again, there's food everywhere. There's the need for food, again, in your body, your day-to-day life. There's social events. There's, you know, coming together with family and friends, and you go to parties and whatever. Food is involved everywhere. Traditionally, you know, probably where your roots are, you have specific foods that are in your roots, your foundation, your culture. these are all very important aspects. And it's not something we could just take lightly and say, well, I don't want to have it anymore. There's so much depth to it. There's so much more meaning to it, that food is so powerful. So understanding how to navigate through the struggles that you have so that you can, again, find a new normal, know when, getting a little too far out of bounds. You know, it's like you're out of bounds. You're in a game. You're playing a game and you just got to stay in the lines. You know, you can go this way, you go that way, you can kind of veer to the left or the right, but it's like when you start getting too close to out of the bounds, then you got that reminder and you know what those reminders are for your body, right? You know what those reminders are that I haven't been on my normal as often as I should be. So just kind of veer over to the other side, get back in line. And then you understand that you don't quit. Now that is key. When you don't quit, you win. I don't care how many times we fail. The goal is to stop giving up. Stop throwing in the towel and saying, oh, I can't. That's a quitter. A quitter's mindset will continue to sabotage you every single time because that's going to overcome your strength, your motivation, and everything else that you have. You know, any program you can start. That quitting muscle, that is the strongest muscle that we have because we've been implementing it over and over again. So without a plan, you will fail. And I'm not telling you to go on a diet plan, but I'm saying you need to have some sort of plan. You need to understand that I can't just, you know, wing this. I have to know what I'm doing. I have, you know, and it doesn't have to be rock solid, but I have to know where should I focus right now? Should I drink more water? What are some of the foods that are going to agree with my body that I need to get more of? What should I pull back on? You know, where's that balance? And then also understand that fitness is not an option. You have to do something. You have to move. Your body is meant to move. Did you know this? And this was really interesting as I started to study more about the body, that even when we are, you know, most people will feel tired or sick or sore, for example. And what is a natural tendency when we're tired or, you know, feeling a little sick and, you know, the energy's low or feeling a little achy or tired or your muscles are, you know, tighter. You don't want to move, right? You're happy to just lay on the couch, turn on the TV and just let me lay here and let this pass. And the funny thing is that most people think that that's helpful. I'm just going to lay here. Now, resting is helpful. I'm not talking about resting. Like sleep and rest, so crucial to your success. But when we just feel like laying more than we're moving because we think we're helping ourselves because we're tired or sore, the body actually heals itself when you move. So if you're moving, then you're healing. Your body's able to heal. Have you ever heard people that have like heart surgery? And my aunt had hip surgery. I was kind of a caretaker for her. She had both hips replaced, one after the other, not at the same time, but one after the other. And, you know, the first thing that they do after is get you up and start you walking. Walking, right? After a major surgery. And that is proof the body needs to move. So fitness, and I'm using this as an extreme, but just for everybody, when we're tired, we want to sit, get up and go walk or move or stretch. Do something that feels good. No, you don't have to do the burpees. If you want to, go ahead. I mean, I've learned to not hate them anymore. So it's just funny to me when people are like, no burpees. I find some comical relief in it. So you're going to hear me say things that are funny, but just for the funny aspect of it. So fitness, movement. I mean, that could be a walk every day for 30 minutes or at least 5 days a week. And throughout your day, how much can you move? Can you get up and walk around the house a little bit more? Guess what? You're burning calories. That's a plus. Okay? Stretching. You're getting uncomfortable. You're stretching. You're burning calories. It's so the simple that it's ridiculous. We don't know this. We should know this, right? Maybe upping your water intake. Are you drinking your water? I know this was not a problem for me. I've kept my water up even throughout the past month of everything going on. Yes, I've been on track with my water and that helps. So again, I'm focusing on that. I have my fitness in place. That didn't change either because of my community. So I'm thankful for that. And then having a plan. So this is probably the area most that's going to most benefit me, might benefit you too, is having a plan in terms of my foods. Okay, Kathy, but see, I have a normal. I know what my normal is. I'll just give you an example. This is not rock solid. So don't write this down and be like, this is what Kathy does every day of her life. No, I usually get up. I will have my coffee. Oh, I have my water first because we're already dehydrated when we're sleeping all night. So I have my big glass of water, actually my water bottle of water. I have my coffee. I do my morning routine. I also do my workout. But if I'm really hungry, I'll have like a small half of a banana or something light to give me some energy. But usually I go into my, I just do my workout because it's early enough. And after my workout, that's when I have my big breakfast. And all lately, I mean, this is, I kind of get stuck in these meal ruts where I say it in a good way, that I just kind of a go-to. It's my easy plan. I love oatmeal and I love what I call, what we call proats, which is protein oats. what I was doing, but in the past was having my protein, I mean, my, excuse me, my oatmeal. I'd cook my oatmeal in water or milk. And I'd, you know, put a little, you know, if you want to put cinnamon or a little bit of a honey in there, maybe I'd like a little peanut butter. Actually love that mixed in. And then I would have on the side, I would have my scrambled eggs for my protein. Well, I kind of got tired of eating. It felt like I was eating two breakfasts. So I like to space that out, but I still need my protein in my oats. So I do proats, which I just find a protein. And I know it's processed. I'm not saying this is the healthiest option, but for right now, this is what's working. And I put a scoop of protein in there. Usually it's vanilla or just, you know, non-flavored because I don't like the flavor, but I just like the protein in there. And then I have that with, you know, if I have another cup of coffee, I usually just have one or two cups in the morning and then I'm done. I don't have coffee throughout the day. I just enjoy it in the morning. That's my morning. And I'm not saying for you to follow this. I'm just telling you as an example, this is my normal. Okay. Another option sometimes I've done is, and this cuts sound a little gross, but it totally worked. And it does work is I would cook the oatmeal on the stove, you know, like the cooking oatmeal, not in the microwave. And then I would, put some egg whites and cook that up like at the end of the cooking time. Like, so if it was a 5 or 10 minute, you know, time of the oatmeal needing to be cooked, maybe in the last minute or two, I would put in some whipped up egg whites. Now, yes, it gets a little, the consistency change, there's little chunkies in there. And I'm not so apt to put in peanut butter because there's eggs in it now. So it's usually just a little bit of a, you know, more of a plain oatmeal. And peanut butter went okay with it. But again, I just fell out of love with it. So I'm the type of person that if I don't enjoy it, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to tell you, why don't you live that way too? But I'm not saying being a lazy and laying in bed all day or laying on the couch all day because, hey, this is what I love. No, I'm talking about good for you stuff that you love because you know what's good for you and you know what's not good for you. So I'm coming back to my point. That is usually my breakfast now is proats. So oatmeal with protein. And then for my snack, like whether about 2 to 3 hours later, I'm hungry. And I want you to be really mindful of how much you're eating at each meal. And are you getting hungry every few hours? Like every 2 to 3 hours, maybe 2 to 4 hours at the most, you should start to be hungry. And that's when I'll have my shake. I have a shake I make, health shake, you know, I add some stuff to it. It just gives me some vitamins and boost. And I have fun with it. It gives me, you know, kind of a little treat, I guess, in a way. So I have that. And that's my snack mid-morning. And then lunchtime, I'm pretty lazy when it comes to lunchtime. So I'll either have a salad. I got really burnt out at salads with protein. For some reason, I'm like, I was done years of training. And when I competed, it was just salads for lunch, like the big salad with, you know, tuna or chicken or whatever protein I could get on top of that salad. And I honestly, that's not my favorite anymore. I just don't love it. But that's a good option. Like if you like, you know, cut a big ginormous salad, and ginormous is a word, by the way, somebody told me the other day, it's not a word. I don't know if it's a real word, but it is in the dictionary or it's on spell check. If you look up on your phone, I digress. Cut yourself a big salad and then just top it with some protein and you can drizzle some balsamic over it. Make your own dressing. I like olive oil with some lemon and seasoning. It's really good. You just kind of whip it up or mix it up and then drizzle it over. Whatever, you know, find a recipe. And I like to make the dressings. I think that they're better. They taste better. They're better for you. And they're not filled with crap and lots of calories and hidden calories and fats. But find something that works for you. Again, needs to be enjoyable. It needs to be something you can sustain, realistic, and at the end of it all has to be fun. So if you don't like a salad with your lunch, like me, I've been having like leftover foods because we usually have like big dinners the night before. So I'll have like leftover foods, or I will have my go-to scrambled eggs. I'm sorry, I'm boring, but I just do scrambled eggs. I do the whole egg. I do 3 eggs. If I'm super hungry, I'll have 4. I know. And then I'll have my sprouted toast. I do the Dave's Killer Bread. I like that. If you're someone who likes white bread, I would not recommend you have white bread, but you can always choose sourdough. Sourdough is a really good option as far as white. But don't buy like in the, you know, on the aisles where they have the supermarket sourdough, that they're just filled with stuff. They say sourdough, but they're not really truly sourdough. Like, get it that it's authentically sourdough, and it's not going to be able to stay fresh on the shelves very long. It's going to, you know, start to harden up and get mildewy. So buy fresh or make your own. Get your own starter and start making your own sourdough. So I have that, maybe some veggies on the side. I'll cut up some tomatoes, or I'll have a little salad. And that's my lunch. Now, snack time, I usually get, if I'm, you know, if I have something different, again, I'm a creature of habit. So most often it's some yogurt. I love Greek yogurt. If I want a little extra crunch in it, I will kind of almost, I don't know if you've ever done overnight oats, but I do a little tiny bit of oats and I let it sit in a little bit of tiny milk, put it in the fridge. And then I pile in my Greek yogurt. And I put a tiny bit of sweetener. I do stevia. You could do honey too. And I put a teaspoon of peanut butter. You can tell I love peanut butter. And I mix it all up. And that's my snack. It just sustains me. But I mean, I also have fruit. You could do nuts. Just watch how many you're eating. You can have like a lot of nuts, which equals a lot of extra calories. But those healthy fats are really good for you, beneficial. Don't lie to yourself and tell you that you're eating tons of protein with nuts, because it's mostly fat with some minimal protein. So, and then dinner is usually just our family dinner, whatever we're having that night. My family eats very much like I do, so we're pretty solid on that. And then again, for my snack in the evening, I'll either have fruit or my yogurt or whatever. So that is my like quote unquote normal. I do change things up. Again, it's not set in stone. But when you have a normal plan like that, it's easier to get back on track. You don't feel like you're going completely off the beaten path when, you know, life throws you a challenge or a hurdle and you get yourself out of bounds and you come right back. And then understanding that you stop believing that you have to be on a diet. You don't have to do anything. You could do what you want to do. And I'm going to recommend that you do what fits your life, what fits your likes, what fits your health, and what makes you feel good, right? And then learning and practicing to get better at it, to get stronger in your exercise, your workouts, whatever that is. If you're walking, hey, maybe you walk a little longer and you have more energy, or you can walk faster, or you can walk up some hills now. You know, it's all progress and it all counts. I guarantee you, what we've been measuring before is the all or nothing, and that doesn't help us at all. It burns us out. And if you find yourself worried about like, well, how many calories do I start with, Kathy? And I'm out of bounds right now and I just need to get back on track and I don't know what that means. I'm going to give you a solid approach. I don't want you to drop all your calories. I always tell women, you know, I like women to start at about 1800 calories. But this is for women that are using, you know, strength training and then other forms of movement. They're moving more. So if you're not quite there yet, you've been eating like 1,200 to 1,000, 1,000 to 1,200 calories, that's going to be a ginormous jump. See, I like that word. That's going to be too big of a jump for you, especially in the beginning. So you want to kind of slowly, like a ladder, you want to climb the ladder. So maybe you add another 100 calories right now. Try to get yourself in that 1,500 to 1,600 range to start. I don't recommend anybody going below that. There's no benefit to that. I don't care how small you are, how short you are, whatever your activity level. 1,500 to 1,600 is still really, really low. It's still too low for everybody besides a toddler. So making sure that if you're not there, you need to get there first. Okay. So if you're not hungry, something's really slow about your metabolism. Don't say, well, I'm not hungry, so I don't have to eat. No, something's wrong. If you have extra weight and fat on your body and you're not hungry, that's not good. So don't celebrate that. Okay. Food is not the enemy. You should want the food. I now understand so much now because, of course, all the years of studying, I know now when I'm hungry, that's time to celebrate. My body's working. So when I get back on track and I've been feeling heavy and full and bloated, you know how you feel when you're off track, and I get back on track and all of a sudden I'm like, bing, I'm hungry. It's been 2 to 3 hours. I'm hungry. I know I fired up my metabolism again, and that's a good thing. So get excited about that. Drink your water. Eat your good fruits. Veggies mostly. Don't count your vegetables if there's nothing on them either. They're so minimal in the calories. And then by the time you eat them, it's almost, you know, not even worth worrying about. So don't use up your calories and vegetables. I mean, you can if you want to, but that's just my 2 cents. Count your fruits, yes, because they have more sugar and they'll add up a little bit faster. And obviously you want to start choosing more. This is what you want to choose more of: healthy proteins and healthy fats. Now, when you get these in, your body is able to work efficiently. It's able to repair, recover, get quality nutrition that you need. Your carbohydrates are going to come in the forms of your vegetables and your fruits, and then your healthy carbs. Like I said, I have the Dave's Killer Bread. I'll have my oats, different side dishes, trying to choose, whole grains. Maybe it's brown rice versus white rice. Again, moving away from the white stuff. Don't tell yourself it's bad. If you want to have white rice once in a while, great, have it. I do. But more often than not, again, finding that new habit, that new normal, I have my brown rice more often than not. Now, I'm going to say my husband does complain when I do the brown rice, but he has it anyway. Maybe choosing sweet potatoes, even white potatoes. White potatoes are not bad for you. Don't they grow from the earth? Then that means it's a whole food. It's okay. Yes, it spikes your blood sugar a little differently than sweet potatoes, but it's not bad for you. So get out of it. It's just bad what people usually top their potatoes in or fry their potatoes. You know, that's the negative side of it. But potato as a food, a white potato is not bad. So get that out of your head. I'm talking about white sugars and white flours. These have been processed. I like to think of it like a drug. You know, think cocaine, stripped of everything. It's it started off probably a lot in a better state and has been stripped of everything except, what gives you that high. So it's that white powdery stuff. I like to associate, not that I know that it's not a drug, but it does a little bit affect you that way. It's a negative effect when you strip something of all its goodness and you leave it just with that, that white powder. So think sugar, white flour, kind of the same idea, right? And I know not anything like it, Kathy. Come on, Kathy, you're being ridiculous. But still, understanding that processed is processed and it means it's been stripped away. And let me give you an example. If you were to eat 200 calories and you think, okay, I had 200 calories and I'm good to go, I had it as a snack. Well, let me ask you, what was that 200 calories? Because it does depend what you eat. Whether you eat a processed food or a fast food versus a whole food, you're going to have different results in your body. 200 calories doesn't mean squat inside of your body, depending on what you've eaten. If it was 200 calories of an Oreo, like an Oreo Fest, Oreo cookies, or 200 calories of an avocado, hello, 200 calories of Oreo cookies going to spike your insulin and sugars, right? 1 hour later, you're going to be starving, right? And there's no nutrition in there. That's not good for you. Now, an avocado, however, 200 calories of that, nutrient dense, right? It's a healthy fat. The body has to burn calories to be able to digest it. So it's actually working while it's eating, which kind of weird, right? That you're burning calories while you're eating, but it does. And so it's not really the 200 calories when all said and done. And with that avocado, you're going to be full longer. So see how 200 calories can look very different depending what you're eating. So look at what you're eating, getting clear. You just have to start pushing out. I like to call crowding out the negative, powdery, processed, fast foods with more nutritionally dense foods. And honestly, once you start to think this way and start to learn Food is not bad. Food is not my enemy. I need more food to be able to feel better, but I need to choose the better quality foods. And I want to look at these little cues and signs that I'm hungry every few hours, that I have more energy, that I'm able to sustain these workouts. I'm getting better in my exercise. I'm resting, right? Getting your 7 hours of sleep. I'm recovering. I'm taking time to rest from my workouts and my activities as well. And I'm hydrating. And I start to put these in, and these are my normal. So again, when you go on quote vacation away from your plans, let's think holiday season. We all go on vacation from our plans when we're in the holiday season, right? We don't follow a plan. We're eating a lot more. We're eating foods that aren't as nutritionally dense for us, but we're having a good time and we're liking it. And it's part of our culture. It's part of our life. And it's okay, because once we get back to our normal, now we're like, yes, I feel good again. I feel like I'm solid again. And then I stay in this range and I don't have to go on diets no more. I don't have to deprive myself. I don't have to feel like, you know, I hate where I'm at. And that's where I want you to start to shift. It starts in the mind. It really does. A lot of us get panicky when we see the scale creep up or our clothes don't fit. And we go, cut all the food, throw everything out. Diet, 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 diet. Exercise, do all the burpees, whatever I need to do as fast as I can, as much as I can until I collapse and I'm successful. No. Mindset first. Start slow, because if you start slow, you're able to stick to it. Start with these changes that I just went over with you. Go through what works for you, get rid of what doesn't work, and find the plan, the foods, not the plan, your own plan. Find the foods that fit your life, find the activity levels that fit your life, and start to get better in both of those by learning. You know, like I just mentioned about the Oreo cooking the avocado, learning the differences and the truth about 200 calories versus just what diets tell you. Have 200 calories, or Weight Watchers told me to have this many points. Well, I had the Oreo cookie, but if I had the avocado, well, now we're changing things up. So there's so much to be said about learning and taking control, taking your power back, that I wanted to share with you today. I hope this message was valuable. If you want to check out more information, check out our blog, check out more about the Superstar Elite program, go to www.thesuperstar.com. All one word. And until the next episode, take care of yourself and be happy.